Good morning. This is Nick Augustine with Chicago bankruptcy attorney Joseph Roble on the Joseph Roble Limited podcast called the Chicago Bankruptcy Update. And today we're talking all about your business in bankruptcy with Chicago bankruptcy attorney Joe Roble. And we're going to talk about a lot of the issues that are arising with people who have bankruptcy questions and concerns and are filing a personal bankruptcy under a Chapter 7, Chapter 13, or Chapter 11, and is different from a business bankruptcy necessarily. It's a personal bankruptcy, but a lot of people who are getting personal bankruptcies have business income, and you don't have to be a solely small business income-based. You can have a part-time business that's part of your setup. That could be a side hustle that's growing. There's all sorts of different things, and people have questions. Joe, tell us a little bit more, and let's talk about this. What type of questions are you getting from people?
Well, the idea for the podcast came from my own experiences over the last 6 months to a year, and I've had more and more clients coming in with their own business, whether it's their only source of income, or they're married, the spouse is working, and they have their own business, or it's a secondary income, and they're all having problems. The economy is one issue. When we had COVID a couple of years back and everything was shut down, that's probably the biggest determining factor why people are having problems. Everyone fell behind and they couldn't catch up. So the intersection of the bankruptcy law and business and personal bankruptcy can get a little complicated. You're going to have you're going to have different variables to figure out to determine which way to go. So I've put together a talk this morning that hopefully can give people an outline of the various ways to go depending upon circumstances that they have.
Right. Let's just, John, I just want to jump in here quick and just remind people that if they're experiencing something with a business that was hurt by COVID and has not bounced back, you are not alone. There are so many people I've talked to that said, it is 2023 now, my business is still suffering and still people, and I think that people are afraid to spend money. There's a lot of people in a lot of different financial and business and different industries who are doing a lot more with a lot less, and it's just not how it was before. And I'm in marketing, and I've seen people try to do a lot more on their own, and they're not hiring companies like mine as much, and that's just one example. So a lot of people out there who have tried so hard to keep, it's like patching the hole that keeps springing a leak. And eventually people get to a point where they're like, I have to make a decision to move on. So we want to take all the guilt and failure out of this. Blame it all on COVID. Blame it all on shutdowns. Blame it on whoever you want. But don't feel bad about yourself and remove the emotion. And once you do that, you can go forward with a smart brain because you're doing smart stuff. I just wanted to throw that in there.
No, but that's really a good point because although I consider myself a pretty nice guy, people really don't want to speak with me or meet with me because I do bankruptcy work and nobody likes to face that situation. But one has to be realistic and you've got to look at your situation and figure out what's the best thing for me to do under my circumstances. And the bankruptcy law and the bankruptcy trustees, whether it's Chapter 7, Chapter 13, Chapter 11, nobody deals with finger pointing. Nobody deals with blame or guilt. It's simply an analytical situation. The law tells you you're eligible to do this if you qualify, and that's what we look at to determine. Going back to your discussion about business is not recovering. So an example I'd like to use this morning is a client who has a commercial janitorial company who was making his living by cleaning schools, office buildings. Now, office buildings, we know what's happened in downtown areas and major cities, in suburban areas, that they're struggling for tenants. So many people are working out of their house. Some commercial buildings are shutting down and being foreclosed, and this has taken away some of the market for commercial cleaning, which is why this particular client with the business was having problems. I mentioned earlier that we have variables to look at, and they're the following. Are your debts personal only? So your credit cards, maybe you have some internet loans. Are they just business? You set up a corporation. You did it yourself. You had your accountant do it. You had a lawyer created for you. You had one of those service companies. They set up a corporation, whether it's a C Corp, an S Corp, an LLC. It's a separate business entity. The debts that you have, are they simply business debts? Or, as so many people have with their own little business, do you have both? Do you have personal debts and business debts? And then we have to look at the value of your business. How do we determine what that business is worth in terms of bankruptcy? So purpose of discussion today, we're going to assume that as an individual, you can pass the income test, Chapter 7 and Chapter 13, which are consumer bankruptcies for individuals or husbands and wives who are filing. Either bankruptcy requires an income test. Your income has to be below the median. So for discussion purposes, we're not going to go into the test itself. We're going to assume that you could pass it, and that would allow you, if you needed to file Chapter 7, or if where you're going to eliminate debt, or Chapter 13, where you restructure your debt and you've got a plan that you can afford. The bankruptcy code gives three choices for bankruptcy. Technically, there are others, but there are so few and far between. Family farmers have their own code. Stockbrokers have their own code. Municipalities, but that's not what we're dealing with. So we'll start with the most common, Chapter 7. The end result of a Chapter 7 bankruptcy for an individual or a husband and wife is that you receive a court-ordered discharge signed by the bankruptcy judge, which basically says your legal obligation to pay your creditors is gone. If your business files a Chapter 7, the business needs to shut down and stop operating on the day or before you file. One of the differences between a business and a personal Chapter 7, there's no discharge for the debt in the business. The petition is filed. All the creditors of the business are notified. They know that they have to stop all collection activity. They can't call. They can't write letters. They can't start or continue lawsuits or garnishments. The business assets, if there are any, such as equipment, inventory, money in bank accounts, in a business Chapter 7, they are sold by the Chapter 7 trustee, and whatever money is brought in is divided among the creditors. And whatever the creditors get, they get. They have remaining debt that they will never collect, and that'll close out the Chapter 7. Second bankruptcy, Chapter 13, personal for an individual or husband and wife. You restructure your debt. We combine the debt that you have, figure out a payment plan, and the payments go to the Chapter 13 trustee for the county in which you live. The trustee each month will take your money, spread it out among the creditors, and pay the creditors for you over a period of 3 to 5 years. A Chapter 13 can pay back all your debt, 100%. It can pay 50%, any percentage in between. And there are variables as to how that plan is determined. Unlike Chapter 7, a corporation, and that includes, when I use corporation, it's LLC, C Corp, S Corp, Limited, whatever. A corporation cannot file Chapter 13. So if there is a, yes, person or.
Question yeah. quick. The Chapter 13, do we still have to shut down the business? So if like I have a business that is not producing as much income, but is still producing some income and I want to keep it, is that where we're in a Chapter 13 situation?
Yes, you can continue to operate the business if that is what you wish to do and if that makes sense. For many people, the money from that business is necessary to fund the Chapter 13. Now, this is, again, this is going to be an individual or a husband and wife repayment. The business, the bankruptcy petition in the Chapter 13 will show that you own a business, but that business will continue to operate. So back to the types of bankruptcies. So where a business cannot do a Chapter 13, if they want to restructure, you want to continue to operate the business. You can't do it based on what you're supposed to pay monthly. But if you were able to take the debt and spread it out over a longer period of time, then the business would file a Chapter 11, which is a restructuring of debt. Chapter 11 was initially created for large corporations that we all know and trade on the stock exchange. Montgomery Ward's went through it. General Motors went through it. It can be filed by any size business. It can actually be filed by an individual if your total debt is over a certain amount. And what happens with the Chapter 11, it's very expensive, and it's very complicated, and very difficult, and it's not something to jump into without a lot of thought, and you need some resources. People are surprised on the cost difference between an 11 and the other types of bankruptcies. So we now have the three options, Chapter 7 for personal or business, Chapter 13 for personal, Chapter 11 for a business restructuring.
So, Joe, my business in a LLC or a C Corp or something I did on my own to protect myself from liability, I'm in Chapter 11 situation, right?
If what you're looking to do is to continue to operate and restructure, then that would be Chapter 11.
Okay. By doing an LLC, I just want to clarify here. So by doing an LLC or having some sort of corporate formality, that does or does not preclude me from Chapter 7 or 13?
As an individual, correct. It's going to be, there may be situations, which I'll be getting into, where you're going to file your own personal Chapter 7 plus you're going to file a Chapter 7 for your business. That's a possibility. So the choice, how do we choose all this? How do we figure out what to do? And it goes back to those variables I mentioned. Is the debt personal? Is the debt business? Is it both? Do you want to continue the operating the business? Do you want to shut down the business? Those are the variables that will help us make a decision here. So I hope this has been clear so far. I put together this outline. I'm going to post this. There's a website called AVVO.com, AVO, which is a funny name, but they've been around for quite a while. I have a posting on that website. People can look me up on AVO and see reviews of my clients that I've done work for. And you can also post articles. I've done a few, and I'm going to take this particular podcast today and put it into an article, and it'll post on there. So you'll be able to visually see what we're discussing, which is oftentimes a lot easier than just listening. Okay, so let's go to the next step. We have a factual situation, a commercial janitorial company. The owner of the company is an individual. The company has a business checking account. There's $1,000 in there. The company has no other assets, maybe some desks, some old computers, but nothing of any value. Why do they have no assets, no equipment, no tools? What the company does, it subcontracts work out. So the company will sign with, let's say, a local school district to clean out the schools every day. Then the company will subcontract to someone who has a half a dozen people working as janitors. They have the tools, the vacuum cleaner for the hallways, the cleaning supplies or whatever. So in terms of assets, this is a corporation, a business, that has very little assets, if any. And for bankruptcy purposes, this particular business really has no value. How to determine the value of a business when one does a bankruptcy is based upon the value of its assets if they were sold or liquidated. So if this business had $25,000 in a bank account, then the value of that business would be $25,000. That's how you value business when you have what's called a closely held corporation. If this business were publicly traded in 3 minutes on the internet, if you know what the shares of stock are worth, you multiply that value by the shares, you know what the business is worth. So valuing assets in a bankruptcy is one of the important things to do in the analysis, whether it's personal, what's your house worth, what are your vehicles worth, or for the corporation, what is the business worth? Okay, now what's the debt situation? Because that is one of the variables. So in this example, the business has credit cards in the business name. There's $20,000 owed. The business has a line of credit where $30,000 is owed. So the business itself has $50,000 in debt. The additional debt, the owner of the business has his own personal credit cards of $60,000. And what happened here happens in many, many businesses that I've seen. The business gets started, it's doing okay, but it's not generating enough, and you need to keep the business going in terms of generating income in order to pay your employees, to pay your contractors, to buy equipment, to buy supplies. So what do people do? They use their credit cards and they fund their business. Or they take out a loan and they fund their business. So they have debt in their own name personally but the debt resulted because of the business. The last item in going through the debt situation is the corporate line of credit for $30,000. The debtor, he signed as a guarantor. So that corporate debt of $30,000 is also the debt of the individual. Okay, should we do a little break at this point and then get into the other situations or continue?
Let's continue because, well, let's just remind people that these are real people with real situations. The decision to, like this guy did, to personally guarantee the line of credit and the amount. I want to think about how many people out there. I talk to lawyers frequently who have this situation where they were running office space during COVID. They still had to pay to keep that office space going, and they were paying some employees this or that. There's a lot of people who have this exact situation with line of credit and credit cards that are backing things up and hoping that things pop back. So this is more common than people realize. And I just want to remind people out there that people in small business will, it's fake it till you make it is a lot of the thing you hear in networking talks. And there's a common, nobody walks around saying, oh, my business is tanking. I can barely keep the lights on. No one talks like that. They want to have new people. They want to exude confidence and everything else. And so there's a lot of this, and I just want people to, again, take that emotional element out of that. There's a lot going on here. There's a lot. If you research and try to figure out decisions on what to do, there's so much information online that you can find. Do you need bankruptcy? Do you not need bankruptcy? Do you need, what do you need? Do you need a magician? Do you, I mean, who knows? A debt restructuring company. There's so many people out there who are offering some sort of solution. And I have done these podcasts with Joe Roble here for 10 years. I have learned so much. He knows a lot. And he can figure out exactly where you need to be with what you've got going on. And if it doesn't make sense to do a bankruptcy, it doesn't make sense. Don't do it. No one wants to waste their time and effort on something that's not going to get them further down the line than they need to be. At Joe Roble's office, when you meet with him and his staff, you get a complete idea of your financial picture, what to do next. You get a letter, the what to do next letter. You get, you know, there's a meeting of creditors and all these. You don't have to go to court a million times. It's so much easier than people realize. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, the anticipation of things like this is always worse than the thing itself. So I just want to drop that in there. Also, if anyone's taking notes, chicagobankruptcy.com is the website. There's a plethora of information there. Use the search bar. You can search for what your question is. I am sure that we've covered it and we've got it on there. Great information. So let's get back to our situation with our janitor company here, which, by the way, smart business. But with the schools closing left and right and, you know, people unsure as to what the future is, I can see why this guy might want to do something different. It makes some sense. So let's get back to our helping out our janitor company.
Okay. So we're going to have two categories of, I got two different situations. Number one, the debtor wants to continue to operate his business. The second would be the debtor wants to shut down his business. So we're going to look at the different situations under those two categories. Okay, so number one, continuing to operate the business. In this scenario, he can file a personal Chapter 7. He will get rid of his credit cards that he has, the personal credit cards. He will also eliminate his guarantee that he signed for the business line of credit. The Chapter 7 trustee that will be appointed in the case will not be able to touch the business, take the business money, do anything to the business, it doesn't have any value. The debtor can continue to operate the business and will do so if it makes sense to do so, if he can make it go, and if he can afford to continue to pay the business credit cards, the line of credit, take care of the subcontractors, and bring some income. The business can bring some income to the debtor. Now, a variation here. Let's say the business cannot afford to continue operating the way it is and pay the credit cards the monthly and pay the line of credit, but the debtor wants to continue to operate. So one of the options would be, in addition to a personal Chapter 7, the debtor can file a business Chapter 11 to restructure the business debt to continue to have the business operate, to spread those payments out. So you've got a possibility here of two bankruptcies, personal for the debtor, a business Chapter 11. Again, I will caution, because people are shocked when they call an attorney for Chapter 11, the cost. The retainer is a very large deposit, and the fees can get quite expensive. There's an extensive amount of work in a Chapter through 11. Mm-hmm. Even if people have been looking online, there is a new category that came into effect a few years ago, called Subchapter 5 of Chapter 11, called a Small Business Bankruptcy. It's reduced the paperwork, it's tailored things to make it easier, it's still expensive, and it's difficult. It's difficult. So someone who's considering doing that, make sure you go with someone who knows what they're doing, and do it with your eyes open. Okay, another scenario in the situation where the debtor wants to continue to operate the business. What if the business had $25,000 in the bank account? If the debtor files his Chapter 7, the Chapter 7 trustee would be allowed to take the $25,000 in the business checking. Why? That business is an asset of the individual debtor, just like the debtor's house, furniture, vehicles, bank accounts. So in that scenario, where a business has value that could be shut down or sold by the personal Chapter 7 trustee, the debtor can then choose to file a Chapter 13. And in the debtor's Chapter 13, pay back a portion of the individual debtor's debts equal to what the value of the business would be. So let me say that again. How much money do you have to pay back of your debt when you do a Chapter 13? You have to pay back the liquidation amount if there was a Chapter 7. So in this scenario, the creditors in the Chapter 7 would get the $25,000 in the corporate account. If the debtor wants to keep that and wants to deal with his own debts, if he files a Chapter 13, pays $25,000 over a five-year period, the rest of his personal debt will be discharged. So I hope that you were able to follow that, Nick.
It brings up a good point. It brings up a good point where people, Kurt, think that they can try to do a lot of this on their own and figure it out. And people, and I want to caution people in business who have done everything on their own for so long because they save money by doing that. There's a point where you need to get help and get professional help. because some of these things, like, you're not going to know to look for some of these details, and missing some of these things cause yourself way more problems than you think you're saving yourself by trying to do this stuff on your own. So let's continue with the situation where the debtor wants to shut down the business.
Yes, I think my eighth grade teacher would be proud of my outline that I'm looking at right now as we're speaking. Okay, second scenario, shut down. Three choices. Three choices. And again, we have some business debt. We have a business with no value. We have a bunch of personal debt. And we also in that personal debt is the individual's guarantee of the business line of credit. So scenario one, file Chapter 7 individually. Eliminate your personal credit cards and eliminate the obligation for the guarantee on the business line of credit. There oftentimes is not a reason to do a business Chapter 7. Often you can simply just stop doing business. Any lawsuits that might be filed against the business won't make any difference. The business creditors, they have nothing to, well, how are they going to collect? The business has nothing. Yeah. There's a thousand in checking. There's no equipment. So lawsuits are a waste of their time and money. So that's one scenario. You also are going to save money by not having a second bankruptcy to pay for. There is a situation where it makes sense to also file a business Chapter 7. One scenario would be where there is, let's say, one creditor who's a nuisance, file the lawsuit, and that lawsuit is going to result in many court appearances. The owner of a business is not allowed to appear in court on behalf of the business. The owner of the business must hire an attorney. Well, that costs money. And if you've got a number of court appearances, the money you're going to spend to hire a lawyer on behalf of the corporation to fight this lawsuit can be considerably more than the attorney's fees for a business Chapter 7. So that's one scenario. A second scenario would be going back to this variation where the business has $25,000 in the bank account. In that case, or any situation where the business has real value, the reason to file a business Chapter 7 would be to allow the Chapter 7 trustee of the business bankruptcy to be the one to distribute the assets. There's a whole procedure where the trustee will tell the creditors to file claims, and then the trustee will distribute everything proportionally. If you do this on your own, you'll have a possible problem of favoring one creditor over another, could be involved in lawsuits. So that would be a situation where filing a business Chapter 7, in addition to the personal, makes sense. So I think I've covered the different possibilities here. And again, anyone who wants to follow up on this, we'll have this posted on our website in a few weeks. It'll be on avo.com in a few weeks. And anyone listening, having any questions, you can contact me directly on my mobile at 312-804-8416. You can email me at josephrobel@chicagobankruptcy.com.
Joe, thinking about all these things that we talked about today and, you know, where the business may or may not have assets or whatnot, I keep thinking about inventories of things or, like, special equipment, like a bulldozer or something that person might have for this or that. But I think back to the janitor guy here. His thing looks pretty straightforward. if there's not a bunch of, you know, an asset like that that you have to deal with. And it just gives some food for thought for people who are starting businesses, the different ways that they can start a business and, you know, think forward. If something were to happen and the walls come caving in on my business, like, what is going to be the least painful exit strategy? I think that when people think that way and think in terms of, you know, just different times in our worlds and our lives, different people need things, and businesses come out of need. If there's a new way to do dental work, there's a new procedure, there's a business that goes along with that. I mean, there's businesses that I hear about. There are businesses I hear on the radio where they will show up at your house and wash out your trash cans. So, you know, while you may think, you know, who is lazy, so lazy that they can't wash their own trash can and are going to hire someone else to come and clean it out, but I'll bet you, you know, that in affluent areas, there are plenty of people who'd gladly pay that, or the doggy poop scooper people, or all these other things. Like, you know, if you have an idea for something that you think people will pay for, there's a business for that. The people who call people up and say, hey, how are you feeling with work today? Did you make those cold calls you want to make? There are people who will pay that coach to call and kick their butt because they work from home and they're on their own and they need people to motivate them to do well. I mean, there's so many business ideas out there, and you just have to think about what will people need that makes their lives easier that they'll pay for. And I just love that entrepreneurial spirit. So I think that ending on a positive note, that's what we get from a lot of the, you know, the despair and ruin that we all had from COVID. And no one really saw it coming, how bad it was going to be. And everyone said it's going to take years for the effects of all this. And we're still, so as we are still seeing people entering bankruptcy today because they got shut down in 2020. And that's a reality, folks. I mean, you look at back in history and you look at, you know, after World War II, what happened to generate things in the economy, and what are we not doing now, this or that? I mean, there's so many reasons you could hold your head and cry, but there's also reasons to lift your head up in joy, because there's got to be a better way out there, and people will find it and figure it out. And for some people, it's just reformatting a business in a way that is smaller overhead, more money in your pocket, and just do things differently and restructure it. So the problem is that when we are in the same thing, doing the same thing day in and day out, we don't see another option out there. And it's just, there's just a lot there. So I can't stress enough the value of talking to professionals who deal with this kind of thing. You know, and if I'm starting a new business, I'd want to call a bankruptcy lawyer and say, hey, what kind of business should I start? Because Joe here probably knows more than anybody else.
Well, I got something really quick and funny. As a result of what you just said, the other day, two 12-year-old boys who live down the block came and rang my doorbell, and they said, we're washing people's trash cans. Would you like it done? $10 a can. Well, you know, I said to myself, number one, yes, one of the cans is really starting to stink. We know that happens. And secondly, these kids are so cool what they're doing. Sure, go ahead. I signed up. They came by on Saturday. One boy was walking. The other was on an electric scooter. They rolled the garbage cans down to their home. They used their dad's power washer, cleaned them out, brought them back. Boom. So these are future entrepreneurs.
Yeah, and it's like they just thought about it and they're just doing it. You know, it's like, you know, a lot of times they say, too, like, all you need to have a business is a truck that can haul some stuff and just, you know, put a push mower in the back, and you're, I mean, it's just mowing lawns for money to buy a car when you're a kid or whatever, or washing the trash cans. These kids are entrepreneurial, and I've seen friends of mine who've got kids who, like, get into the gig economy, and they start doing this, and they start doing that. But they're just used to going out there and making it happen for themselves. So I think that a lot of us can look at the younger generations and see the entrepreneurial spirit, because they haven't been bogged down by life and failure. And life and failure will prevent us from taking further steps to move forward. You know, and that's, I think, a lot of people get stuck in this, like, they want to do a bankruptcy, but they think, I don't know, and, like, how can I squeak by it? And it's, you can, either way, either decision you make, you'll live your life. Something will happen, either good or bad, but, You know, some people keep businesses limping along for years, and then they pick back up, and they're glad they did. Other people cut their losses and move into something else. However you want to do that, the point is to call someone like Joe Robel here and get the nitty-gritty on what you're really up against and just learn your options. So, Joe, I'm glad we did this one. This was a good concept because a lot of people have these issues with the small businesses.
Yeah, I am also. Well, thank you very much, Nick, as always.
All right, and thank you, Joe, and that's all for today. Those numbers again for contact?
312-804-8416, directly to me. You can do email, Joseph Robel, that's W-R-O-B-E-L, all one word, no punctuation, at chicagobankruptcy.com.
All right, wonderful. We'll be back next month with more great stuff. Until then, everyone, have a wonderful day. Go out and be effective in whatever it is you're doing. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.